Right, please keep your finger there in Romans chapter 1 and turn to Proverbs chapter 8 for me. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And just keep your finger there in Romans chapter 1. And just a warning, this is the first time I've ever prepared a sermon in less than half an hour. Okay, I had a totally different sermon for you guys this afternoon. Totally different sermon this afternoon. And obviously I don't normally take half an hour to prepare a sermon, okay? We were out of water. We're out of water, so I went to collect some water. I went to the Caloundra Woolworths. And, you know, you go to Woolworths, hey, families are there, children are there. I mean, you kind of think of a Woolworths as a place for the general public. You think it's a place that's safe for children. And when I went for checkout on the way out for the door, there was a poster there, a colored poster, bright colors, very, looks children-friendly to me, doesn't it? And it says the Sunshine Coast in bright yellow, Sunshine Coast Mardi Gras. And there it was, free men dressed in drag. Okay, free men dressed in drag. And I recognize that in the United States at least, and in some other countries, this month, the month of June, is known as Pride Month. As Pride Month. Now, look, so far in June, we've almost gone two-thirds of the month. And I've not seen this propaganda in Australia. I recognize when it comes to June, the reason they call it the Pride Month is because it's the first, well, I can't remember what date, I don't care what date it was, but sometime in June, they had their first protest, their first gay and lesbian homosexual march, and so they recognize June as their month, you know, when they've come out and they sought their rights. And brethren, I'm just going to pick up water. You know, I desire to be in God's house on a Sunday, you know, just to be in God's presence, to hear from His Word, to be moved by Holy Spirit. And the last thing I want to lay my eyes upon is see free men dressed in women's clothing. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Brethren, this is God's word. And, you know, as I said, I prepared this in, I don't know, 20 minutes, all right? So this is not a very refined sermon. It's probably going to be all over the place. Please forgive me, but I need to get this off my chest. I don't like preaching about these things. Honestly, when it comes to the LGBT, whatever they are, AIDS, AIDS, homosexuals, sodomites, I don't like preaching on this, but it is found in the Bible, okay? And from time to time, you know, as our society, as our, you know, propaganda that's been dumped, pushed down our throats, the media, you know, we need to fight against this. We need to push back and refresh our memories, especially on June, especially on a Pride Month. We need to remember what God's Word says. All right? I mean, these things, the Bible said, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. It doesn't say the way they dress is an abomination, and that is an abomination, of course, but it says all that do so. It's the people that do, that cross-dress in this way, they are an abomination to the Lord God. Look, brethren, that word abomination is a strong word, okay? It's talking about how filthy, how degenerate these people are, and these really are the scum of the earth. You say, I don't like you, Pastor, preaching on this thing. Look, this is God's word. God says it's abomination. We need to hear this. I know, look, you turn on the TV, you turn on the news, you watch your shows, and brethren, it's in cartoons now. This thing being pushed down. You've got to be careful about what your kids watch now, okay? And what are these cross-dressers, what are these reprobates, what are these sodomites trying to do? They're trying, look, they get into libraries, school libraries, they want to have children reading hour, where you know, children are listening to a story, but at the same time, they're looking at a man dressed like a woman, okay? I mean, things are getting so bad, brethren, in this world. You know, I saw a video, I didn't really see a video, but, you know, because I don't want to look at this filth, but, you know, it's not just these people coming into schools and parading children, cheering this on, little children cheering this on in schools. You know, these people, half naked, you know, putting out all their shame. And, you know, I didn't quite see a video, but I know it's there. I played the video. You know, I didn't set my eyes upon the filth, but seeing one of these men dance around and a little child giving one of these dancers a dollar note. You know, celebrating the fact that they are so filthy, they're so contrary to God's word. Brethren, this stuff needs to be called out from time to time. You're there in Proverbs chapter 8. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. Do you have a fear of God, brethren? Do you have a fear of God? I do. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Brethren, are we allowed to hate? Yes, we're allowed to hate evil. If you have a fear of God, you will hate what God hates. You say, what does God hate? Let's have a look at the list. Number one, Pride. Hey, they call this Pride Month. They say we're so proud of what we are, these homosexuals. Okay, you know what God hates? Pride. You know what you ought to hate? Pride. Okay, you know what? The title for the sermon this afternoon is Hating Pride. Hating Pride. Yes, I hate Pride Month. Yes, I hate how these people parade themselves and think themselves so good because of their corrupt lifestyle, their filthy lifestyle. Hey, and look, if they were just doing it look, that's bad enough. If they were just doing it in the privacy of their own home, but they want your eyes to lay, they want your approval. They want your children to see what they're doing. They want your children's approval. You know, one thing I love about the Sunshine Coast is, you know, away from the big cities, you don't see this stuff as much as you do in the big cities, but it's still here. Brethren, I just wanted some water for our church. And God's laid this sermon on my heart. We need to hear about it. We need to hate pride. We need to hate this wickedness that's going on in the world. It says, hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. You know, sometimes there are pastors, some churches say, oh, it's sinful to hate. No, it's not sinful to hate. As long as you hate what God hates. Look, if you hate what God loves, that's a sin. If you love what God hates, that's a sin. Brethren, if you love this Pride Month, if you love how people come out and they're so, you know, so proud and so brave for coming out of the closet, brethren, then you are in sin if you love such things. You love what God loves, you hate what God hates, and you'll be right with God. Okay? If you have a fear of God, then you ought to hate evil. You ought to hate pride. And brethren, yes, the title for the sermon was Hating Pride. Okay, hating pride. Go back to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. Just as that as our introduction. Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. Look, and this kind of preaching in an independent Baptist church was normal back in the 80s, back in the 90s, even the early 2000s. This kind of preaching was normal, all right? You know, please don't think that I've just lost it or something like this. Okay, everything we read is going to be from the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, it's good for us. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse number 15. Let's start with some good news first. It says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I love that, right? You just that went out soul winning. Brethren, you know, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Praise God for you. Now look at verse number 17. For therein, so there in the gospel message, all right, is the righteousness of God. Notice the next word, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. What is verse number 17 saying? It says that the righteousness of God was revealed, okay? To reveal something is to make it open, all right? To make it manifest, to make it seen. Brethren, when we go out and we preach the gospel of salvation, we are manifest, we are revealing the righteousness of God. We are showing just how righteous God is, just how loving He is, just how much He's done to give us salvation. We are revealing that. We are making that open, okay? It's visible when you go out and you preach the gospel to the lost. That's important for the next part, okay? The next part, look at verse number 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed. Brethren, we already saw how the righteousness of God is revealed by the gospel message. Now we're going to see how the wrath of God is revealed. You see that? And if God's righteousness is revealed in a very open way, then God's wrath is also revealed in a very open, obvious, clear, manifested way. So how is God's wrath manifested? Well, let's keep going there. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness in unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's keep going there. Verse number 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Let me stop there for a moment. The them here, okay, they've had an opportunity to believe on the Lord. They've had an opportunity to know of God, to worship God. Okay, these things have been revealed to them. The gospel is what reveals the righteousness of God. All right? They've had ample opportunities to know who God is. Okay, let's keep going. It says in verse number 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Hey, well, they'll say, well, no one came and knocked on my door. Well, they've got creation. Okay, the fact that there's creation means there's a creator. That should be enough to make it so clear and obvious that there is a God that deserves your worship. Okay? It's been shown unto them. They know of a God. Okay? Let's keep going there. Who are we talking about here? Verse number 20. It says, verse number 21. Oh, sorry, did I finish verse 20? Probably not. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Okay, so I did read that, but sorry. Verse number 21. "Because that," look at this, "when they knew God." Okay? They knew God. Please understand this. Okay? They have ample opportunity to believe on this Lord God. Okay? Or to seek after him. All right? And brethren, if you seek after God, he will guide you to hear the gospel and be saved. They've got that opportunity. All right? "When they knew God," look, "they glorified him not as God." Oh, okay, I see who this God is, but I don't want to accept him as God. I don't want to view him as God. I don't want to glorify him as God, is what these people are saying. "Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations." Look at this. "And their foolish heart was darkened." Look, when someone who is lost, okay, who does not want to think upon God, who does not want to glorify God, their heart becomes darkened, all right? Brethren, when you're saved, what do you need to believe with? You need to believe with your heart, don't you? Right? "For whosoever shall..." How's it go again? "With a heart man believeth unto righteousness." Okay? We believe with the heart. What are these people? They have a chance to believe in God, but their heart's been darkened. Darkened. Okay? Let's keep going. Verse number 22. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image make like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." So instead of glorifying God, they lower God to the standard of an animal. Okay, so well, God's just an animal. Or the animals are God. You know? Look at verse 24. Now look. This is so important for us to understand about these people. Brethren, I'm one of the few pastors that are willing to be honest and truthful about this situation to you. Please understand what the Bible's about to say. Okay? Do these people want God? No. Their hearts have been darkened. They lower God to the view of an animal. Okay? It says in verse number 24. "Wherefore, God also gave them up." Did they give up on God? Yep. So, God also gave them up to what? "To uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts." Look at this. "To dishonor their own bodies between themselves." All right? Look, they've given up on God. God gives up on them. Okay? And he allows them to go after their own lusts, defiling their bodies. You say, how do you defile your body? How do these people defile the body? Well, as we keep going down this chapter, it tells us, okay? It tells us here in verse number 25, again, about these people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Okay? They take the truth of God and they turn it into a lie. Once again, they would rather worship animals than to worship God. Verse number 26. For this reason, brethren, okay, because this is how they treat God, this is how they view God, "for this cause, God gave them up." Listen, does God give up on people? Bible says that God gave them up unto what? "Vile affections." Look at this. "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Brethren, how did these people defile their bodies? You know what happened? Pride month. Men after men, women after women. All right, I mean, sometimes they're so ashamed of themselves, men after men, so they start, well, I'm a woman. Instead of saying, well, I'm a man that loves another man, that lusts after a man, they'll say, well, I'm actually a woman, and that's why I love men. Look, the Bible's very clear. There's man, there's woman, there's two sexes, there's two genders. Brethren, that's basic science. That's basic science. And what do they want? They don't want to be called he or she, or call me them, call me Z, or whatever. Change my pronouns so you don't offend me. These people are wicked. These people are... Why did they become homosexuals? Why do they act this way, brethren? Are they just lovely people that have lost their way? The Bible makes it very clear. They've given up on God. They did not glorify God. They viewed God as an animal. Okay? Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Brethren, these are haters of God. And because they hate God, God's given up on them. God's allowed them to pursue this if they want, to follow after the lust of their flesh. Okay? Please understand. Please understand what's happened. Before they got into these lusts, they hated God. They gave up on God. Okay? Before they gave into these lusts. Look at verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Do you see that? They don't want to think about God. They don't want any thought of God. God gave them over. Three times, brethren. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. God's through with these people. God gave them over. Look at this. To a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What things are not convenient? Men after men, women after women, homosexuality, LGBT, all this nonsense. Pride month. This stuff is not convenient. What did it say in verse number 26? Which is against nature. These are unnatural desires. Something wrong with people that have this desire. See what's wrong with them? They're haters of God. They gave up on God. God's given them over to these things. They've been given a reprobate mind. Not only is their heart foolish, darkened, even their mind has become reprobate. Okay. Now please keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 12. Please go to Matthew chapter 12. Because I realize what I'm preaching today is not just not popular. We'll probably get a strike on YouTube probably. Don't be surprised if we lose our YouTube channel this week. Okay. Not only that, brethren, but pastors are afraid to preach this. What I'm preaching is so controversial these days. Okay? Now, while you turn to Matthew 12, I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30 says, "Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." What does it mean to have a reprobate mind? What does it mean to be reprobate? It means the Lord hath rejected them. Brethren, this is what the Bible clearly teaches. Read it in your own time. If you're not sure what I'm saying, please go back and read the scriptures carefully. They've been rejected by God. Brethren, anyone that dies without Jesus goes to hell. Okay? And when someone's in hell, they've been rejected by God. Okay? Why? Does God just reject people out of hand? No. They rejected God first. They got to a point where they went too far with God. They hated God, and God says, all right, I'm done with you. I'm rejecting you. Okay? And this is what some people just don't understand. I'm going to show you in a moment that this is clearly taught in the Bible. Okay? We understand when someone dies without Jesus, they go to hell. That's it. They've lost their chance. But there are people walking this earth right now, living and breathing, taking breath like you and I, that have already been rejected by God. There's nothing they can do to be saved. I'm not saying that Jesus didn't die for them. Of course Jesus died for them. But they can't believe. Their heart has been darkened. Their mind has been given to a reprobate. Their brains have been changed to a reprobate mind. They can't believe. They can't believe because they rejected God and God's done with them. Okay? This is a scary thought. People can be walking this earth. Look, if you're saved, no problems. If you believe the gospel, no problems. This can't be you. Okay, this can't be you. But what are these people? These people are the LGBT. This Pride Month. These homosexuals. The Bible calls them sodomites. This is what they are. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. Just in case you think, Pastor, I think everyone has to the last breath to get saved. No, okay? Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. And these are the words of Jesus. I did not write this in the Bible. Jesus Christ says, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." You see that? Once someone has blasphemed the Holy Ghost, they cannot be forgiven. Not in this world, neither in the world to come. They've lost their chance to be saved. Okay? Now, I don't have time to go through exactly. I'll just tell you very quickly. You know, these people are saying that basically the miracles of Jesus was by the power of Beelzebub, by the power of the devil. They were saying that Jesus basically is operating by the power of the devil, you know, instead of recognizing that it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? And these people that are so willing to say that Jesus is of the devil, these people have lost their chance to be saved. They're not going to be forgiven for what they've said. Okay? Not in this world and not the world to come. Some people are walking, living and breathing, and they've lost the chance. All right? Please go to Matthew chapter 13, next chapter. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And verse number 10. Matthew 13, verse number 10. Before I read Matthew 13, I just want to bring back the thought before I miss the point. When I said to you before, how it said in verse Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Okay, it's a very open, transparent way. It's a preacher going, preaching the gospel, understanding what Jesus has done for them. Okay? And we saw in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." How is God's wrath revealed? When someone's been given over to a reprobate mind and they give in to these unclean thoughts, give in to these unclean lusts. Men, when you see that men are giving themselves over to men and women over to women, brethren, that's the wrath of God that's been revealed in them. Openly, they've been rejected. It's not like, well, I don't know, Pastor Kevin. You know, they're really nice and, you know, they seem friendly and, you know, my uncle's one of these, or my, you know, I've got a cousin that, you know, and they just seem to get along. Listen, if they're that way, if they've given into those lusts, God's wrath has been revealed in them. That's confirmation to you that God's wrath has already fallen on that person. That's it. Like when someone gets cast into hell, God's wrath is there upon them in hell. This person that's given into these lusts, God's wrath has already fallen upon them on this earth. That's how you know. It's clear. It's been revealed. These people out and proud. Pride month. They've been rejected by God. God's wrath has fallen upon them. That's why they've given unto these natural lusts. Sorry, these unnatural lusts. Matthew 13, verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Why? Why did Christ walk around speaking in parables? Well, he answers why. Verse number 11. "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you," hey, you the believers, you the disciples, "to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Look at this. "But to them it is not given." Did you notice that? Jesus spoke in parables because there were certain people that he did not want them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Let's keep going. Verse number 12. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." Look at this. Look at verse number 15. "For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their foolish heart was darkened." Listen, there are certain people, as Christ is going about preaching in his ministry, he says there are some people whose heart is gross, waxed gross. Look, "and their ears are dull from hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Look at this. Look at the next words. It's so important, so important. "Lest at any time," lest. What does lest mean? In the case of. Just in case. Let's say, lest, or just in case, at any time, they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Brethren, what is Jesus Christ saying? Jesus says, look, I'm speaking in parables. because they've waxed, their hearts are waxed gross. They, you know, they don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't, when they see the miracles of Christ, they don't acknowledge it as God. All right? They don't acknowledge it as miracles from the Spirit of God. They're so far from the Lord God. So Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to speak to them in parables because I don't want them to understand. Lest, in case, they do understand and believe, and then I'll have to save them and heal them. Jesus got to a point where I don't even save these people. They're so far gone, and I'm going to make sure they stay far gone by preaching them in parables because I don't want them saved. That's what that's teaching. And you know what, brethren? I was a regular church member like you before I was a pastor. I would read these verses, and I'd say, that can't be the understanding, that can't be the meaning. Christ wants to save everybody. Well, he did want to save everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, we've all been, all our sins have been paid for in Jesus Christ. You know, we all have the opportunity to seek after God and be saved. I'm just saying there comes a point where someone hates God that much, when their heart is darkened, okay? And they refuse to hear, when they refuse to see, and Jesus says, all right, then I'm just going to speak in parables so you don't understand and you don't even get saved. It's all over for them. They can't believe, they can't understand it, they can't get it. It's all over, all right? I'm just showing you other passages. I'm not saying these are all talking about homosexuals, because obviously it's not. I'm saying there are just people in general, okay? Homosexuality is a symptom, it's a byproduct of someone who has been rejected by God. It reveals that God's wrath has fallen upon that person. Say, Pastor Kevin, I don't know, this just doesn't sound right. Please go to Revelation 22. Please go to the book of Revelation 22, verse number 17. And I can show you so many more passages, but let's just hit some of the major ones, okay? Revelation 22, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. And look, it starts well here. Verse number 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Praise God, salvation's free. Whosoever will, hey, can take of that life freely. Okay, it's based on the free will of man, whether you want to believe in the Lord or not. It's available to all. But notice, whosoever will. These reprobates do not will to do this. Okay, they do not glorify God. They do not want what God has to offer. Look at verse number 18. So I just want to show you, you know, within the context of all this as we keep going. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall, look at this, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now we know that once you're saved, you're always saved. Nothing you can do to lose it. So who are these people that will have their part taken out of the book of life and from the holy city? Those that have taken away the words of the prophecy of this book. Okay? If someone goes and edits the Bible, changes it, mucks it around, removes verses, that's what a lot of the modern Bible versions have done. God says these people have lost their chance to be saved. Their part has been removed out of the book of life. Okay, I mean, look, do they mean well? I don't know. I guess not. Because they're haters of God. So these editors that mess up the Bible, that take verses out, okay, take out the blood of Christ, you know, and they corrupt the message, they must be haters of God to have done such things. So God says, all right, you've gone too far. You've messed with my book, then I'm taking you out of the Lamb's book of life. Right. They've lost their chance, and they're still walking the earth, these Bible editors. Look, again, I can go through many passages, okay? But I hope this has shown you enough that people get to a point in their life where you reject God over and over and over and over again, and God just gives you over to a reprobate mind. God says, I'm done with you, okay? And the homosexuals definitely fall in this category, 100%, 100%, okay? That's what's been revealed to us. God's wrath has been revealed to us. When you see these people out and proud, you know, celebrating and dressed all weird and you know, just, I mean, I just want to put acid in my eyes or something. I don't know, man. It's so filthy. It's so disgusting. That's just a reminder of you, well, God's wrath has fallen upon you. You are dealing with God's wrath right now. You don't have to wait for it. You know, it's like, oh, I just wish they just die and go to hell. They're already facing God's wrath. God's through with them. It's done. They're as good as finished. Can you please go back to Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. We already read verse number 28, but let's just read it again. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now notice verse number 29, okay? So we saw, let me help you with the downward spiral. They reject God, God rejects them. Reprobate mind, okay? And in this thing, as we saw, one of the symptoms that we saw leading up to this, up to verse number 29, is that they're homosexuals. Okay, they're LGBT. Look at verse number 29. You say, well, Pastor Kevin, I know this homosexual and he says he loves God. Pastor, you know, are there churches where the church ministers themselves are homosexuals? Do they love God? Do they love God? Lesbians behind the pulpit? It happened. There are churches with this stuff now. And they say, we're just loving. Love is love. God is love, the Bible says. And if God says this is filthy, it's filthy. If God says he hates it, then I hate it. If you've got a fear of God, love is love as long as God says it's love. You say, well, sounds hateful, Pastor Kevin. It is hate. I hate pride because God hates it. All right? Look at verse number 29. These people, these reprobates, these homosexuals, verse number 29 says, being filled. So these people are filled with these things. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Brethren, why do they want to defile our minds? Why do they want to defile the minds of children? Because that's what the Bible says. They're full of these things, filled with unrighteousness. Look at verse number 30. Backbiters. Look at this. Haters of God. Look, the average person you talk to, they say, if they say, I'm not interested, they're just, you know, they're not haters of God. These people hate God. You got to understand the difference between not believing in God, preferring not to believe in God for whatever reason, you know, or being stuck in a false religion, or people that are trying to do their best they can. They think one day they might stand before God. They hope they're good enough. These people are not haters of God. We need to reach these people. That's the vast majority of our community. There are some people, though, the Bible says they're haters of God. They hate God. Okay? I mean, think about, could you hate God as his child that's been forgiven? You know, you've been saved by the blood of Christ. Could you ever say, I just hate God? These people are, they're gone. They're finished. You know, haters of God, what else? Despiteful. What's the next word? Proud. Pride, look at us. Yeah, we're celebrating our sexuality. You know, how many school teachers, man, you know, I'm so glad I homeschool my kids. How many teachers are trying to push this onto their students? I see this stuff now, man, with social media, the TikToks and the Facebooks and the YouTubes. You know, you see all these teachers, you know, so proud that they're teaching their students LGBT history, you know, and you know, they've got their short hair and their blue hair look, and, you know, I don't know. They look weird, these people. They look weird. Hey, please, look, that's the trend these days. I know young people, you guys like to follow the trends. You know what? The trend right now is just to look as filthy and disgusting and perverted and as LGBT as you can. Please don't follow. Please don't color your hair blue or purple or some weird. That's how they identify themselves. You know, when I was a teenager, my dad would say to me and my brother, "Don't let me ever catch you with an earring in your ear," because that was what they did. I think it was the left ear. I don't know, maybe. Okay, that's what the men did. The homosexuals. This is how they recognize. Now they wear rings on their thumbs. I don't know there's my wedding ring. It's not on my thumb. Okay, that's what the guys do now. They take these rings or whatever, they put it on their thumb. That's how you know they're a homosexual. okay? And women that want to recognize that they want to be acknowledged as lesbians, they just do weird things to their hair. Unnatural colors, okay? Unnatural affections are going to obviously bring unnatural ways of dressing. They look weird. Please don't follow after the fashion. Please, because you know what? You're basically saying, I support this, or you're accidentally saying, I'm one of these people. Be careful. Reverend, I forget what I'm up to. Verse number 30. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now look, obviously some of these things we've done. I've been proud sometimes. Yeah, I've been disobedient to my parents. My kids have been disobedient to me. But what we're talking about, these people that are reprobate, they're filled with these things. They can't stop doing these things. This is who they really are. You say, oh, just he's my friend, Pastor Kevin. He's my uncle. He's my nephew. And they're so happy and cheerful. Look, we believe the Bible. The Bible says they're full of this. This is really what they are. Any other appearance, it's a mask. It's fake. It's not who they really are. Okay? Behind closed doors, this is what they are, according to the Bible. Verse number 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. They say love is love. We just love. No, they haven't got natural affections. They don't know what it means to love. What they have is filth. It's disgusting. Implacable. Brethren, this is an important one for us to learn. Implacable. They cannot be placated. Okay? Look, I don't know if this is going to happen or not. We've had some videos strike down from our channel before. Okay? You know, if someone catches wind of this sermon somewhere on the media, you know what they're going to demand from our church and from this pastor? To apologize. Do you take back what you said in that sermon on Sunday the 19th of June? You know what? How can I take back God's word? Do you think I really want to come on Sunday afternoon and preach this stuff? Think about these people? Do you think I really want to go and look at a picture on Woolworths of these cross-dressing men? I don't like preaching on this stuff. But it's God's word. It has to be heard. It has to be said. Look, if it's not said in church, where is this ever going to be said? We need to hear it. Okay? And look, they're going to say, well, do you take back the words? Do you apologize? They're implacable. Don't apologize. Say, no, we stand on God's word. Because if you give an inch, they'll take a mile. Is that how they say it? It's not enough. You cannot placate them. You cannot apologize enough to make them happy. They haven't got natural affections. You know what? If someone wrongs me, and I just see some sign of humility, and just some, they say, look, I'm so sorry. You know what? I'm just quick to forgive. All right, done. You know, even if someone's probably done some bad things to me and I can just see they're just honestly regretful and they apologize, I'm just quick to forgive and let's move on. These people are implacable. They don't understand natural affection. They don't understand relationships. Okay? It's all for them. What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Do not say sorry. Do not apologize to these people. Implacable. Unmerciful. Why are you going to show them mercy when they're unmerciful? Verse number 32. And knowing the judgment of God, hey, they know. They know they're not right with God. Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we have a confirmation in the New Testament that the sin and the crime of homosexuality is the death penalty. Amen. They are worthy of death. Okay, that's found in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Romans. If you don't believe me, look up worthy of death in the Bible all 11 or 12 times. I can't remember right now. 11, I think it is. Every single time, it's about the death penalty. Worthy of death. Okay, according to the Bible. Not by the hands of this pastor, definitely not by the church, but by the government. That was the law of Australia. Okay? We had the Buggery Act, where that crime, the crime of homosexuality, was punishable by death. Now, I don't know if they ever carried it out or not, but that was the law of our land. Okay? What I'm preaching is not only biblical, but it's what normal common sense people practiced, even if they weren't Christians. Can you please turn to Genesis chapter 19? Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 15. We have the story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, of Sodom and Gomorrah, two very wicked cities, all right? And you know the story. God rained down fire and brimstone. Hey, his wrath fell upon them in a very physical way. Say, why? Why did God do that to them? It's not like he's just constantly in the Bible, just constantly raining fire and brimstone in every city that's wicked. You know, I've just started preaching for Jonah at Blessed Baptist Church, and Nineveh was a wicked city. Why did God not just send fire and brimstone to destroy that city? There's something that this city was doing that was very wicked. Okay? Verse number 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise. You know what? I've gone too far ahead. Sorry, that's what happens when you prepare such a short time. Genesis chapter 19. I need to backtrack a little bit. Okay, let me just backtrack a little bit here to verse number... I guess we can start with verse number 1, but I'll read it quickly. Chapter 19, verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Okay, so Lot sees these two angels. He says, look, please come into my house at night. Please don't hang around the city. Why is Lot asking of this? Let's keep going. Verse number 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Okay, so they finally, you know, Lot keeps pressuring them. Please come into my house. Please come into my house. All right, let's go into the house of Lot. Verse number 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, all right, this is the men of Sodom, even the men of Sodom, compassed, that means surrounded, the house round. Look at this, both old and young. There's a reason why they're after our children. Listen, the men of Sodom were after the children of Sodom as well. Both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Brethren, this is not saying we just want to get to know them. We just want to say hello. So we're just surrounding the house of the whole, all the men of the city, both old and young, and we just want to say hello to these people. Can you bring them out, Lot? Listen, that you know what this is about, okay? They want to know them like men wanting men. In the same way, they looked at these angels and they said, hey, some fresh blood, let's go after these angels. I'm trying to be careful how I say these words. Obviously, I've got children, there are children in the church, okay? But we don't need more detail than what the Bible tells us, okay? It's here, okay? And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Okay, so it's not like, hey, I just want to say hello. That's not wicked. Just greeting someone. Okay, what they want to do is wicked. Listen, sodomy is wicked. The Sodomites are wicked. They're an abomination. They're haters of God. God's given them over to a reprobate mind. Okay, they're unnatural. They're brute beasts. They're filthy. They're wicked. Verse number 8, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, and therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. So Lot tries to appease them with his daughters. But what did we learn? They're implacable. They cannot be placated. Okay? Lot's trying to find some peaceful ground with them. Okay? I mean, to think, like, how far is he going to give over his daughters? Pretty wicked. Okay? But he feels it's the only way. It's not enough for these Sodomites. It's not enough for these homosexuals. Look at verse number 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came to sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and put Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Brethren, You know, this is also symbolic. Now, this took place. These men were made blind by the angels. But they were so blinded, they could not find the door. Jesus Christ is the door. He is the door of salvation. But if you're blind, how are you going to find the door? Look, these men, again, just from a symbolic point of view, they cannot find their way. They are blind, they are lost. It's been done by the hand of these angels. This is exactly what happens. Their heart gets darkened. They cannot understand. They cannot believe the gospel. They've been blinded. Okay? They've been blinded. I'm going to drop down to verse number, because it's probably take too long to read the whole chapter there. But I'm going to turn to drop down to verse number 20. So they tell Lot, look, you've got to escape. You've got to get out of the city. God's about to destroy Sodom. It says there in verse number 20, behold now, this is Lot. He says, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. So Lot says, look, there's a city over here. Please allow me to escape into that city. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Verse number 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So Lot, his wife, they left the city, okay? Then it says in verse number 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Brethren, was God's wrath manifested upon these cities in a mighty way? Could you imagine fire coming out of heaven? Look, it's not just coming out of heaven. It says, and fire from the Lord. This is fire coming from God's wrath. Okay, directly from the Lord God. It's not like he just created some fire and sent it. It's coming directly from him. It's his wrath upon these wicked cities because of their homosexuality. All right, now, the most important part of this lesson, though, is verse number 26, which says, but his wife, this is Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Look, Lot's wife looked back. The angel said, look, don't look back when God rains down his wrath upon them. She looked back. Okay? She set her eyes upon these homosexuals. She felt sorry for them. She felt sorry for the city. She looks back, and she becomes a pillar of salt. God finishes her. Brethren, as soon as I walked out of, like, walking through walls and I saw that man, I looked away. Brethren, when as soon as these kinds of people appear and want to demonstrate and show them something, please look away. Be like Lot's wife and say, I'm not going to look upon this filth. Actually, don't be like Lot's wife. It's what I'm sorry, brethren. Okay, don't be like Lot's wife. It's all over our TV. Please be careful what your children watch. Man, we had to be careful what our children watched back in the 80s and 90s. But it's nothing in comparison to what is happening now, even in children's cartoons. Brethren, please be careful. Please be careful. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Luke 17, 28. Luke 17 deals with the coming of Christ. And in Luke 17, verse 28, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. So they went about life as per usual, okay? Verse number 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Brethren, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the worse this pride is going to get. The worse homosexuality is going to get. It's going to be open and out, just like the days of Lot. Now, I'm not saying that Christ is coming back tomorrow. You know, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I really don't know, brethren. I hope society gets things back on track. I hope we can reverse the way we're going. But the way things are going, it definitely just confirms we're getting closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's keep going there. Verse number 31. In that day, which He which shall be upon the household and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Look at verse number 32. Remember Lot's wife. Brethren, remember Lot's wife. Don't give attention to this filth. Please don't look upon these homosexuals with mercy and with love. They're an abomination. Fear God. Fear God. If you fear God, you will hate evil. Say, Pastor Kevin, I don't think I have hatred in my heart. Then you need to fear God. You need to get your head in the Bible. Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet. Turn off the magazines. All right? Turn off the children programming. Turn that off. Get your head in the Word of God and learn to hate what God hates. Hate pride. Hate Pride Month. Okay? Hate these sodomites. They're an abomination to God. They cannot be saved. They've lost their chance. Their hearts have been darkened. They've rejected God. God's rejected them. Let's go to one more passage. 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. Obviously, the books of Kings and Chronicles chronicle, you know, the kings over Israel and over Judah. And sometimes you read about certain kings that did that which is right in the eyes of God, and some kings did that which is evil in the eyes of God. But I just want to show you one king here. In 1 Kings 15, verse 9. 1 Kings 15, verse 9. Let's read about this king. It says, "And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah." So we're going to be looking at King Asa, who reigned over Judah. Right? Verse number 10. It says, "And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom." Look at verse number 11. "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and did as did David his father." Hey, is King Asa a good king? Of course. He reigned for 41 years, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Say, what did he do? Look at verse number 12. "And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." What did he do? He rounded up all the Sodomites and said, "Get out of here. Get out of Judah. Go find some other place." He said, "I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I don't want you to influence us. Get out of the land." And the Bible says he did right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, brethren, we're not kings. We haven't got a nation that we rule over. Okay? Hey, but I do have authority in this church. No sodomites are allowed in this church. No homosexuals are allowed in this church. If I want to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, if you want me to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, welcome them in. You want them here? Right? Because they're such lovely people, even though the Bible says contrary to that. Hey, you want to be evil in the eyes of the Lord? Welcome them in if you want. Hey, as a pastor of this church, they are not allowed in here. Okay, I'm not saying someone might walk in and we don't know and they are that way. As soon as we find out, they're out of here. I don't care if I'm preaching halfway and I find out one's that way. Okay, if I find out some man is looking at a little child some weird way, I'm going to stop that sermon and that guy's going out of here. Out. And I want your support behind me in that area, please. All right? Fathers, your kingdom is your home. Get the sodomites out of your house. They're on the TV. They're on the internet. Keep a watchful eye on your house, please. They're on the movies. They're on the children's programming. Oh, these are my two mothers. Get them out of the house. Do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Brethren, that's what we can influence. Okay, we can't change this world necessarily. Okay, the Bible told us things are going to get progressively worse, like the days of Lot. Okay, fine, that's how it's going to be. Hey, but where we have authority, where we have control, let's not let these sodomites defile this land. Okay, defile this church, defile our families. And please, keep your children away from the homosexual uncle. Okay, because they haven't got natural affection. They don't love your children like you think they do. Okay, they're after something else. Okay, all right, let's pray.